Welcome to QuakeCast, the podcast for id Software's classic Quake and the games it inspired.
Hello, Quakers, and welcome to another episode of the QuakeCast. Dump Truck, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great, and I'm celebrating.
What are you celebrating?
A perfect 10.
Whoa.
Hey now,
perfect 10. I think Dump Truck is referring to the fact that this is the 10th episode.
Damn right.
Wow.
Woo!
Might be celebrating a little bit early. Maybe I'm not
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, exactly. Who'd have thunk we'd be this far already?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I really didn't know how far the show was going to go. But so far, we've had 8 guests, and we've made it to the 10th episode. So I would say that's worth celebrating.
Can you hear this? I'm patting myself on the back. You should do the same.
Okay. I wasn't sure what that was.
Fapping.
Oh, boy.
Hey, wait a minute.
No, Dump Truck, stop it.
What kind of show is this?
Be decent. Right. So anyway, on track. Episode 10, everybody. Wow. No, but in all honesty, though, I really was surprised to see. I'm like, wow, we reached 10 already. Like, I didn't realize, you know, the couple of months that we've had already with all these episodes have gone by that quick.
And we're getting the only complaint that I see consistently is that we're going too fast and there's too many episodes. So maybe we should slow down.
Wow, really? Wow, that's interesting.
Spirit was saying that, and I believe Joshua Skelton was like, "I can't catch up."
So, that's funny. Well, that's part of the reason why we. Oh yeah, he's got to get a job where he can drive for an hour and then he'll be good.
Right,
but. But in all honesty, I mean, that's part of the reason why we try to keep these episodes at about an hour every week. So that way they're, you know, you get a good chunk, but they're still short enough that, you know, you don't feel like you're watching a, you know, 3-hour Marvel movie or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But what we did want to bring up due to this topic here, when you're talking about people's feedback and everything, is that while you run a QuakeCast channel in your Discord, we also have an email address. So if people aren't on Discord, don't want to join Discord, or if they don't talk too much in Discord, whatever the problem is, you can always email us at quakecast@gmail.com. And you can tell us how we're doing on the show, what kind of things you'd like to see on future episodes of the show, any guests we haven't had that you think would be cool. By the way, don't send a request for John Romero. We know, we've heard.
Even if it's John Romero we're requesting, we've already heard. Thanks, buddy.
Right. Stop emailing us. Jesus, John. But really, yeah, guys, feel free to email us. Even if you got a question, I wouldn't mind in the future actually having like a little questions section of the podcast. So that way, like every few episodes where we do these community update shows, we just have like 5 silly questions we could answer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we do trivia, but I'd forget the answers before we went, you know. So I was thinking about trivia at one point. I'm thinking, well, am I the best person for that? I don't think so.
Maybe but, not.
Yeah, maybe in the future. Some kind
of it'd be fun.
Anything to interact with our listeners is fantastic in my book.
Because here's the thing, you know, it's good to have an episode like this every now and then because we could sort of reinforce the mission statement that we have with this podcast, which is, guys, we love Quake and we talk about Quake primarily, but we want to talk about all games, like any id game, you know. Even if you guys want to hear an hour about Daikatana talk or something like that.
I'm in on that. That gives me an idea. I'm jotting this down right now.
Okay.
There's one modder. Idea? There's one modder that I know of that works with Daikatana, and Sleepwalker mentioned it in his interview that there's a very, very small community, and I think it's extremely small, of Daikatana modders. So we should have him on. That would be fun.
See, this is the kind of stuff that, at least me personally, I'm interested in. I like video games in general. Like, I really like Quake too, but, you know, I play a lot of other games as well. And for people to talk about what they're working on, mod base, whether it's, you know, for Daikatana or, you know, Quake 2, Quake 3, you know, we definitely like to talk to some people who primarily work in those games too. I know the show has primarily been Quake 1 focused so far. And, you know, personally, I don't have a problem with that. I love Quake 1, but it would be great to hear a little bit more banter from people who design deathmatch maps for, you know, Quake 3, for example, because I know that's a game that you and I both liked back in the day, too.
Absolutely. And, you know, that reminds me of another thing. I actually worked on a mod for Quake 2. And so I think this might be a good episode a little bit later after we kind of get through our to-do list. Maybe we could bring that up and I can tell you my stories from the Quake 2 days.
Yeah, actually, Dump Truck, that would be really cool to hear about. You know, Dump Truck worked on another mod before Quake 1. It's true. He did. And we should definitely talk about it at some point.
It was actually a commercial release, but we'll get to that later.
So, Dump Truck, what else has been going on?
I'll tell you what's going on with me. I've been working on, in fact, I wrote this down today, overwhelmed to-do list.
Oh, boy.
And so, yeah, I'm just like between my personal life and my Quake life and just doing favors for people, you know, that, which is fine. I have friends that kind of ask video favors and things like that. Between all that stuff and then the weeds in the backyard and all that stuff, I'm completely freaking out. So I have to do to-do lists. So my Quake to-do list today was test repo, Kin video. I'm doing a video on the Marcher Fortress.
Nice.
The podcast. Got to check that one off.
Yep.
And then update FGDs. But anyway, no, I've been working on my mod, Progs Dump, and for the next release. And I'm in a big hurry to get it done because I need to do other things. I mean, I can't, you know, now I understand about feature creep and, you know, requests and bugs and things like that. And software development is like, wow, what a pain in the ass. But it's rewarding too. So, and people are waiting for it. I know there's a couple people that want to do mods with it. So I'd like to get it done for them. Start testing it. So that's why I'm overwhelmed and the weeds in the backyard.
But, so you're telling me that you're developing a mod, working on a mod, doing programming and whatnot, and you have a life outside of that?
Not much of a life. Now, I just kind of fit it in here and there. In fact, work has been sort of slow around the holidays because, you know, I work in TV. So you notice on TV, there's a lot of reruns during the holidays. And so we get ahead during that time. So now I'm kind of ahead at work. And so sometimes, I hope my boss is not listening, but sometimes I've got time to fiddle around and do coding and stuff. Maybe I'd say 1 or 2 days a month in general.
That's cool though. You get a little break and you can just like sit down and dedicate yourself to your other job.
Exactly. And also the Christmas vacation helped as well. So I really dove in and got a ton finished during that time and did a map, which we'll talk about later.
Definitely.
So yeah, so that's what's going on with me. But as far as Quake, oh wait, what's going on with you? I know there's something going on with you.
Well, nothing
transactional super exciting.
yeah, I was going to say very, very transactional, very much financial, running the numbers, becoming an accountant. No, what's been going on with me is so for over the years, I've been a large collector of games and game stuff, you know, just game stuff, you know. Someone's like, hey, this is Mario related. I'm like, give it here, you know. And I have like a couple tubs just like full of toys and a couple tubs full of like old games and stuff like that. So I'm now going through, now that I've moved into this new house and everything, and I realized how much I don't touch any of this stuff. And as a responsible adult, I have now gotten to the point where I'm like, I don't need this. So I've been selling all of it on eBay, believe it or not.
Ooh.
I know before the episode here, when we started, you were talking about like selling things that you would regret, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm getting rid of this stuff and I'm kind of looking at it. And I'm like, I don't think I'm going to feel regret about this because I haven't touched this in about 10 years, you know. I know they use, you know, there's a rule that they use, which is basically like, if you haven't touched something in a year in your house, I think it's probably, they say it's probably safe to get rid of it because you're not really going to use it.
Yeah, I did that before and I regretted it. It's like shit. Like with cables, like video cables, like I don't need this thing. And then you go, I had that one thing and...
I feel like, yeah, I feel like that there's another category for that stuff, like some electronic stuff like cables, cords, you know, AC adapters. Like I have a small tub of that kind of stuff. And I go back to that, you know, once a year at least to find a cable like, what do I need this for this? Oh, here we go. This will connect, you know, and it works. Mm-hmm. When it comes to video games, though, we're getting to a point now, at least for me, where I really, and I know this is not very Quake Dad of me, but I'm kind of embracing the digital stuff at this point. Because over the years with Steam, it's been such a nice thing to just be able to open up your library. It's right there and you can just launch a game and you're good to go. Mm-hmm. So yeah. The current console that I have, I don't have a Xbox One or a PS4 or anything like that, but I do have a Switch. And I just love the freedom of like, oh, I can just close this game and go to the next game. I don't have to like pull the cartridge out. And as I don't know if you have a Switch, right? Your family does?
Yeah, my oldest has a Switch, and the games are so small. I mean, you know, DS games are fairly small, but now I think the Switch ones are a little more even narrower and kind of thinner. And it's like, God damn, those are going to be easy to lose and that kind of stuff. So I totally get it. I mean, I think we're so materialistic and you know, just as a culture, it's nice to hold something in your hand and have it. But I totally get the digital. I've been doing that for years. I mean, since Steam came out and then as soon as I could on PS3 and PS4 as well. So I totally get it.
Yeah, and it feels good to get rid of this stuff because, quite honestly, like I said, it's just been sitting in a tub and it's all in great condition. So, you know, people are not going to have any complaints, you know, when they buy them on eBay, which is great. But it's like, you know, I'd play a game, put it in the tub and it would just sit there. And it's like, what's the point? Why even have it? But there's certain other things I'm not going to get rid of. Like, I'm not going to get rid of my original NES, you know, my original Sega Genesis, like in the carts for those. Those are all going to stay because those I actually have, you know, I don't know how you want to put it, you know, a relationship with, you know, memories of that kind of stuff. They're sentimental value.
Oh, that brings to mind last night. And I don't even know the name of the show. I watched something on Netflix with my wife about tidying up this little Japanese gal, and they have an interpreter and they go into people's homes and tidy up. And she wrote this book and I don't have the damn book name, but anyway, but what she said was, you know, hold the object in your hand, whether it's a t-shirt or a plushie or video game or whatever. And if it doesn't bring you joy, then that should probably go in your, you know, to go pile. And
yeah.
I think I kind of get that because I have a lot of books and many of which I have not even read, but I know I'm like, one day I'll read that book. So it's really hard for me to get rid of books. I just grew up as an avid reader and I don't read as much as I used to, but when I was in my teens, I read a lot. So it's really hard for me to set a book down and go, okay, I'm getting rid of it. But if you hold that thing in your hand and you're like, yeah, I'll read it, or yeah, this made me really happy, then hang on to it. And then, you know, maybe you can weed it out later down the line. Now, do you have a bunch of plushies and things too? I mean, you have a lot of collectibles.
Yeah, a lot of the plushies, you know, I actually gave away a lot of those during the giveaway I was doing for the YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was great because I felt the same way you did, which was like, I really like these things. And I love that they were in the background of my videos for a time. But I'm just to a point where it's like, I don't really need all this stuff, you know? And like you said, like I look at it and I go, yeah, you know, I'm going to keep my, you know, stuffed Doom characters and my stuffed little Pac-Man guy because I like Pac-Man. But all this other stuff I started accumulating just because I could. I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I really can't do this.
Your pocketbook will thank you too, you know?
See, and that's the other thing, too. You're going to save a lot of money. And digitally, I'm only going to buy the games that I really honestly want to play. You know, I'm not just going to be throwing money at everything. Where over the holidays, I ended up buying a lot of Switch games that I probably don't even care about and don't really want to have just because I was like, oh, it was really cheap. I'm going to buy it. And then before you know it, I got a stack of games right here that I'm just like, I don't even want these, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things. I'm not as sick as like some of those guys on YouTube that create those like crazy game rooms where they every year they do an update. Have you seen these, by the way?
I've seen some of them and it's like, oh my God, you know, that's right. Just an insane amount of dough that you dropped on that. I mean, some people, the way I defend it is like, you know, some people buy boats or, you know, go to the Super Bowl, you know, they have their thing. And if that's their thing and it makes them happy, as long as it's not to the detriment of their family, I think, you know, it's probably okay. It's kind of fun and neat, but at some point in your life, you're not going to be able to do it anyway. You know, you're going to be on a fixed income eventually.
Oh, for
me, faster than you guys.
Oh boy. But it's certainly one of those things too, where, you know, you were talking about hoarding and that kind of thing. It's like, I was buying all those. I don't know if you're familiar with limited run games. They mm-hmm. release. So I was buying almost every Switch game that was coming out from that. And I'd get them in and I'm like, what am I doing? I don't even really want to play this game. And it was just for the sake of collecting them. And I'm pretty much drawing the line in the sand right now. Like, nah, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. Because at the end of the day, it's like, I'm not going to play this. This is going to go in the tub. That's where it's going. And I don't care anymore. But it's just funny, though, because it makes me laugh. It makes me think of, like, you know, someone who's a junkie and they're like, I finally hit rock bottom and that's what I knew I had to change. And that's how I felt over my Christmas break, because I was like looking at a stack of games that I didn't care about. And I'm like, what am I doing? It's time to change. It's time to change.
It's time for a change, RC.
That's right.
You know, that's good, though. You know, that's part of, I don't want to say like, oh, you're growing up, because that's a complete insult. But what I'm saying is,
no, it's not.
You've turned a corner in your life where this is just, your priorities are changing, you know? And that's fine. We all go through that. But it is fun, you know, like I've got all these old, you know, Game Boy Pocket. We've got the original OG, DS. I mean, we have every kind of DS that was ever done. Which is horrible, because I have kids and they were grown up, but I just can't let those things go, even though they just sit in a thing. So there's a few things I can't get rid of, but I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I'm trying not to blow money on just everything I want, because there's need and want, and then there's things that make you happy. So you've got to have a balance.
Yeah. And on top of that too, I'm trying to not take up as much space with my crap, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, just for example, it's like if a friend or your wife or whoever walks down and they see this tub and they're like, what's in that? And you're like, oh, it's a bunch of old games. And they're like, oh, man, when's the last time you played those? And I go, I don't know. That's a bad sign. That's a really bad sign.
Yikes. Oh, my God.
I used to have a girlfriend in high school who had her dad, and if I remember correctly, I think it was 6 broken lawnmowers, because in his head, he thought, someday I'm going to fix these and I'm going to sell them for a lot of money. And I don't know why, but that was kind of his thing. And
that's pretty,
I just remember
control.
Back then. Right. I remember thinking back then, like, what? No.
Or open a lawnmower shop or something. God.
Something. Yeah. But anyway, you know, long story short, that's not so short. That's the big thing that's been going on with me. And, you know, I've put a lot of games in the mail already, and I haven't regretted any of it yet, because, you know, it actually feels very freeing, I would say.
Do you want to pimp your thing? Because there might be something I want.
No way. No. That's the last thing I'm going to do, is sell people's stuff on here. By the way, go to colossalblob.com, buy my game.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got a board game, right? A card game?
Yeah.
That's funny. I would, you know, I'm trying to think what I would be interested in. Obviously anything Quake related, but I know you've got that medallion that's not going anywhere. But sitting here trying to think, what would I want? What would make me buy something right now? When we were at the show, you know, when we were at the show last week, I bought, you know, that Wavebird, and that was just kind of like, oh, I've wanted one of those for a while. It would be handy for our setup, because, you know, yeah, it's our little, I got the man cave here, and the chairs are probably, gosh, a good 12, 15 feet from the TV. So it'd be nice not to have to scooch up with the wired controller, even though I have extension cords somewhere around here. But, so that's why I bought that. But I'm trying to think, definitely collectibles, it would have to be like Quake, you know, or Doom related, maybe. I'm kind of beyond that now in my life as well. You know, I've turned that corner. I have a Strog.
That totally makes sense.
I have a cool Strog t-shirt. I mean, things that are practical, I'm totally down with.
Yeah.
You know, something you're going to wear and use. And so, but anyways. Yeah,
I don't mind having a shelf that has like a couple little things on it. Like the shelf that's behind me now, you know, there's a few little guys there, but it's like, it's not like what it was. Like if you guys watch my Quake videos from like, what, like 150 episode 150 ago? Or whatever. Yeah. That's what it feels like. But if you watch that and you look at the background, it feels like every week there's like a new little thing that's on the shelf somewhere. And I'm just like, man, I can't deal with this anymore. I can't do it. But anyway, yeah, we cut it there. I just wanted to talk about that because I don't know if anybody else has been dealing with that. But I certainly didn't want to become one of those guys that's just like, check out my game room 2019 tour. And it's just not me, you know? So
yeah, instead you're growing facial hair and kind of covering up and getting to be a Quake dad, a proper Quake dad.
Yeah, proper Quake dad. You know, it's funny you say that. Not only have people been calling me that, but also my wife asked me a couple weeks ago, because I was growing out a mustache beard thing, because I've never done it before. I just wanted to see what it would look like. And she was like, are you depressed? Like, no, everything's cool. And she's like, because I know people who are like men who are depressed sometimes will grow a beard out. I go, no, everything's good. She's like, okay. Like, not fully believing me, but we'll see what happens.
Well, I think the concern is that's very heartening. That's very sweet. I did not know that. That's an interesting factoid.
Well, I told her, I was like, you know, cavemen have beards too. So you should have asked me if I'm becoming a caveman. I don't know.
Well, I'm really jealous because I did notice the quaff or whatever you call that, the growth.
Yeah.
I noticed that on your stream and I'm really jealous because I have never been able to grow anything significant. In fact, 2 years ago, I think it was, I tried Movember, you know, to do a mustache for the charity thing.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's ridiculous. It looks like my face is dirty. I don't grow hair on my face. I shave every, I'm kind of like the Don Johnson kind of scruffy. So I go every couple days because I'm lazy. That's basically why. and I use a Norelco and long story, but anyway, so
brand placement.
Yeah. Sorry. Oops. Let's bleep that out. I use like, one of those Norelco doohickeys. And so, even when I really try, there's no way. And my dad's the same way, although he has a little bit of a Colonel Sanders thing going. I'm like, what the hell? Why are you doing that? You're like 82 years old. You just start wearing a beard. That's the weirdest. That is bizarre, but I don't know.
Yeah. And I feel a little bad for, my dad, for example, too, like seeing him over Christmas, like he's got a full beard and he just looks like Santa Claus. And it's just like, dad, like, maybe trim that thing up a bit, do the stubble thing or something. Cause You just look like Santa. Kids, I think he actually said a kid ran up to him and said, Santa. He was wearing like a red hoodie at the time. So it's just like, man, like when you get to that age, like what is that, Quake Grandpa then? Like yeah, you get to that age, it's gotta not feel good that kids are calling you Santa, but I don't know. I guess some kids are into it.
Does he have a gut? Cause that's what I would, yes. Originally I'd be like, oh man, because of the gut and the beard, it's a combo.
Yeah. It's a winning combo, and a red hoodie, doesn't help. So it's almost like you do this to yourself. Like my grandmother, when we were kids, she would complain that for some odd reason, every time we were going to have spaghetti, she would always be like, oh, I just always happen to wear white when I eat spaghetti and I get red on my shirt. And I'm like, but you always know when you're going to have spaghetti. Why do you always choose to wear white? But she would like call it out every time. It was really weird.
My wife is the same way, and she always spills, always. Like, or it'll, she's making it and she'll splash it and she'll sit down. I'm like, ah, little polka dot there.
That's funny.
A quake shape, a Q-shaped polka dot. I think we're going off topic a little here.
I think we've been on topic the whole show.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well,
there a topic? I mean, that's the question.
There is no topic. It's just us having fun. And the guy, our listeners are stuck with us.
Yeah, I hope everybody else is having fun listening, hanging out with us, to be honest.
I'm too serious. I got to lighten up. I think that's the message here, right?
Yeah, every time I watch your videos, I'm like, God, this guy's just like, and that's why we started this show. So that way we could chat, and that way you'll start learning what a joke is.
Thank you.
And good. Yeah, but you've been doing great. Yeah.
I look forward to the day I know what a joke is. So should we segue to what is actually happening, or our kind of more recent events in the Quake scene that we wanted to comment on?
Yeah, definitely. Let's chat about what's been going on in Quake lately. There's been a lot of stuff. Like, it's been a relatively quiet this month for January 2019, but December was a very busy time, and we did have, actually, now that I say that, we did have a very interesting Speedmap pack come out on the 1st of 2019. That is Speedmap pack 190, where it's called the Six Textures pack, which I believe you actually have a map in. Is that correct?
Yeah, and it was kind of nicknamed the Sinister Six, which I love. I love that. I don't know where, if that's from some other game or other movie or whatever, but I just love that. I'm surprised they didn't put that in there, but the Sinister Six. And sometimes see, speed maps, so this is for people who are maybe not in the mapping scene. There's speed maps and then there's jams, and they really are different things. Speed maps are done over a certain amount of time, whether it's hours or, you know, days, or sometimes a week. Like this one was a week because I think it was during the holidays, so people kind of gave them a little extra time to work on it because of family commitments. But, and then there's jams, and jams are much longer, kind of, you know, it can be even a couple months sometimes, a couple weeks, a couple months. So, and those are much larger, kind of ambitious projects. So that's different. So this was a speed map pack. And sometimes, you know, as a mapper, you're like, I've got to do that. I have to do that. And so this one really captured my attention. And let's see, we've got 14 maps.
It's a lot of maps.
Yeah, 14 maps. Actually, there's more than 14, I think. I'm sorry, 15 maps from 13 mappers. Yeah, good counting, David.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, 15 maps, 13 mappers, but we were limited on the textures to six, which you would be like, wow, that's really challenging. And I think it's really only challenging for the mapper, because a lot of people did these great, you know, architectures, and I'll let you know, you've played through the pack, and but a lot of, I just wanted to make a good fun map, and the texture for me was just more of the theme. So I did this white brick with kind of green, goofy green stuff. I didn't spend a lot of time on the texture selection. I think people will probably notice that when they play it, but it was cool. I hope we do another one, because it was a fun challenge, you know, because then you're like, well, do I do a sky? Because that counts as one. Or do I do lava? That counts as one. And so people were doing really interesting things, like Diggs used a metal texture and stretched it and made that his water texture.
Oh, so cool.
That's, yeah, that's really clever. And he had paintings on the walls, and the same deal. He made these he took the texture and scaled it up, so it's kind of abstract pixels. So I thought that was really clever. What I did in mine, as opposed to a teleport texture, I would just use blackness, because you can make things, you could use a light with a negative number and make it really dark in a certain area, which is really, really cool. And that was the first time I ever tried it in a map. And so all my teleporters were just these kind of black hole type of things. It's kind of cool.
Very
and
cool.
So a lot of clever usage of things. In fact, I have not played all of them. I've played, I played about a third of the pack so far. But it's a good pack. I know you played it. Or no, you haven't played it yet.
I still got to get to that one on the show. Yeah,
you'll enjoy it. It's cool. There's a lot of the ones I played are, you know, a couple of them I had some issues with, but you know, it is a speed map, and you got to be a little more forgiving, you know, as you know.
So for this particular speed map pack, how long did you have to build your map?
I believe, let's see, I want to say it was 2 weeks, if I remember correctly. And even, so now I'm spacing out, but it was at least a week. I think it was two, because people were saying, that's a speed map. And we're like, it's the holidays. So, you know, what happens is different people administer these things. So this one was WW, and he's a great mapper. Did he do one? I guess he didn't do one. A lot of times when you admin them, you don't really have time to map. Some people do, some people don't. I didn't when I worked on DM4Jam. That was one of the only ones I did. But I just couldn't map. There's no way. There's so much going on. But so it's kind of up to that person. And it's also up to people, their responses. They'll be like, yeah, I'm down. You know, you kind of judge, you gauge the responses like, okay, this is the right way to go. And for this particular one, there was a lot of conversation about, okay, well, what constitutes a texture? So that was, it was really fascinating to see the conversation play out and how it all arrived. But it really usually is to the person who's running it to kind of make the final decision. So that's what makes it always, all these projects really fun. And they're kind of, it's really tempting to do these things, even though I did way too many this year. I shouldn't have done a lot of these maps.
Oh no, you don't regret your maps, do you?
No, I just kind of wish I do have limited time. I think this year I'm going to try not to, because first of all, I don't play as much because I'm mapping. So if I can kind of chip that back, I do have a project plan, but we'll talk about that some other time. But
okay.
We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes.
But, well, cool. We'll see a more focused dump truck this year, I think.
I hope so.
So with the six textures pack here, I know that in the past they've done several speed map packs where they say, here's your wad, just use this, you know, and you could use anything from that. This one was literally six textures from anything.
Yeah, you could make your own textures. You could get them from other games. I'm looking at the piece now. I think one of them used some Quake 2 textures, if I'm not mistaken. It looks cool.
That's cool.
A lot of people use Arcane Dimension textures because they're so good. There's really solid textures in that pack. So I'm kind of looking at the thing. But a lot of these are kind of just vanilla textures. There's IK White, which is the real elegant, you know, beautiful IK White wad. One of those maps is like all white and a little bit of blue in there, and then you kind of use your skybox and I think that's Breezeep, or I don't know whose map that is actually, sorry. But
I know that we're going on almost 200 speed map packs at this point too. This is 190. We're 10 away from the 200th. Have they done anything like this before where they said like you only get this many textures go? Like have they limited anybody like that before?
I can't be 100% sure, but I'd be really surprised if not. I'd be really surprised because you go back on Quaddicted and you see some of these jams and it's like 100 brush is a common one, but you know, 1,000 brush or, you know, 50 brush, you know, or, you know, five textures or only use lava or just, you know, ugly pack. So I'm sure somebody at some point did it. I'll look up while we're chatting about other stuff, but.
Cool. Well, it's a great concept. I got to say, like, I don't map much myself, to be honest, but I always love seeing what people, you know, create whenever they get these kind of stipulations in place, because man, from when I was mapping, I feel like the map that I did, I probably used a total of six textures, so this probably wouldn't be a problem for me. So if you're building a map that feels like a 1997 era map, you know, I think you're golden.
Yeah, and that's kind of the tact I usually take with my maps because I have limited time. So what I always tell people when they're starting out, or not always, but I try to tell people just, try to emulate id style when you're first starting out. And you can't go wrong because nobody's going to go, God, it's so plain. There's not trim everywhere. What's going on? You know, very few people are going to say that. Maybe some people, but some maps.
Some people.
Yeah, but if you kind of attempt, and so that's what I did with mine. I was just like, well, just id level of detail, you know. I don't have the chops to make something like Arcane Dimensions, really, you know, really. One day.
Not yet. Give it time.
One day. Yeah, one day.
One day.
Yeah, I'm looking at for texture things. I don't see. I know, but somebody will correct us, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, either way, it looks like a really, really cool pack. Looking forward to checking it out. I actually have a few packs I got to catch up on in the Quake Grave. I forgot to mention this. I actually had like sort of a senior moment yesterday where I thought we were playing speed map pack 185, and I forgot, oh no, I've actually already played through this on the show.
I was there for
so
that.
Yeah, you were there for that. So I transferred to 187 and did the 4-hour speed mapping pack, which actually had a lot of great maps in it. But to be fair, anybody watching the show live, no one called me out on it. I was starting it. No one even said, hey, you played through this last year. No one said a word.
Quake Grandpa, yeah. What the hell's going on here?
Yeah. Hindsight's 2020, everyone.
Like we should be talking about this right now, but how long, because I watched until the end of that one. Did you do another one after that?
Actually played through Speed Map Pack 82. So it's a classic from 2005. It actually was five speed maps that were made in a texture set. I think it was a Rubicon. They called it Rubicondom. but what they did is they took the five speed maps and they chained them together and made one big map. Distrans actually worked on that one and Pulsar too. And it was excellent. It was really, really good.
And so you said SM82?
SM82. Definitely recommend checking that one out, guys, if you haven't played it. What's really cool, keep in mind, if you do play it, there are red text computer consoles throughout the level. And when you go up to them, they tell you who worked on that portion of the map that you're currently in. So you'll walk up to it and it'll be like, oh, Distrans worked on this portion. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a chain maps. And there was a little bit of talk about that on the Quake Mapping Discord. I hope we do one maybe I'll have to take part in it.
But I think you should.
Yeah, people have been talking about chain map. That'd be really totally different kind of challenge. You know, you're trying not to mess up somebody's work and stay on theme. And but that this looks great though. Yeah. Rubicon.
Yeah, I don't know what goes into, you know, chaining the maps together or whatever, but this felt like one big cohesive map. So I mean, obviously you're working with professionals here. You know, Pulsar and Distrans have been in the community for a long time. And the other guys, I weren't too familiar with them, the names. I think one was Zwiffle.
Yeah, and I know that name, but I'm not quite sure the background there on that.
And I forget the other two guys, but they all made, and no disrespect to them, I apologize for that, I don't remember, but they all made this beautiful chain map together. They worked well together, I would say.
Yeah, Zwiffle's done a lot of stuff. That's why I've heard his name. Wow.
Lots. Yeah, I remember hearing his name, but I don't know that I played through any of his stuff on the show before. That's why I wasn't sure.
But you better get after it, man.
A show a week, man. I'm going as fast as I can.
I'm relying on you.
Dude, no. I have this like crazy schedule where it's like, man, I do one a week and I'm trying to keep up with the new stuff and also play the old stuff. It's almost impossible.
I can't even believe you do it and you find the energy to do it. But you are younger than this Quake Dad here. So,
but still a Quake Dad, nonetheless.
Exactly. And so what I did last night was now I'm going to start doing a lot if you're going back on Fridays, especially because I told you that before Friday night, man, before we even started talking, Friday night, man, that was the thing. I had a long day, got my beers. I'm going to sit down on the couch, get the Quake, not the Quake, do the Quake Grave on my Chromecast, say that 10 times fast. And, so I did that last night, but I had to stop at the end of the pack. So that's why I was asking. So I'll definitely revisit that episode, but I'm really happy you're, doing what you're doing, but I totally hear you as far as playing maps, because Halloween Jam, I have not played through it. I think I fired up.
Oh, you should.
Here's what I did. I fired up the start map and looked at it. And I think I probably leapt into Newhouse's map and then I got clobbered. And so I put it down and I never went back. I'm like, oh, I feel so bad. But yeah, there were so many great packs in 2018, the Underwater Jam, that one, you know, the Christmas Jam was phenomenal. And just some of them, you like, if I put it aside and don't go back, cause there's always something new, you know, it's really crazy.
Oh my God. Yeah. There are so many great maps from the past year. It's been insane how many, and a lot of them are from jams too. That's what's crazy is that, just like you said, you'll have 2 or 3 weeks or whatever to work on a map for a jam. And the stuff that people are cranking out is just really good.
Well, yeah, I was watching you play, and I did play that pack, the 187 what the hell am I saying? The one we were just talking about.
Right, the 4 hour one.
Oh boy. Yeah, the 4 hour one. Yeah, exactly. Look, did you see what Newhouse did or what, geez, what, I think it was JCR did with those Unreal, or no, it was, who was that, Diggs?
That was Dan Sedan.
Dan Sedan, that's right. Hello. Hello. I mean, you see what these guys do in that amount of time. It's like, holy crap, man. I mean,
well, that's the crazy thing really about impressive. You're 100% right. Like today, I actually asked JCR, like, because I said, hey, I wasn't able to find the secret in your map. Where is it exactly? And he was like, yeah, I made that map in 2 hours. I'm like, you made that in 2 hours.
Wow.
Like, dude.
That's so, you. It just, that's you.
Man. Yeah. I think it speaks a lot to the talent we have in the community now. And it speaks a lot to Trench Broom, too, because,
oh, hell yeah.
Man, that program is enabling so many people to make levels now, which is crazy.
Yeah. And there are shortcuts, too, that I'm just assuming here. I don't know specifically, but I know, you know, like a lot of people have a stash of doors. Like, why make a door another time? But I'm just not smart enough to do that. Or I just haven't sat down and gone, okay, I need to make my whole prefab pack, because it is kind of silly to remake them as you're, you know, trying to, you know, trying to get through a map really quickly. So I'm not saying that that's how they did it, but I'm just saying that's something that I need to get in the habit of for, you know, if I do any more of these this year or maybe next year. But yeah, it's pretty crazy, but all kinds of stuff. One thing I did want to talk about was right now, and it will still be in production when this Quakecast drops, is Modding Jam. And this is a kind of a new thing. I don't know if they've ever done this before, but we've got a here's, let me read it. Modding Jam 2019 Forbidden Technology. So basically, imagine you brought some forbidden technology through a slipgate, something that Shub Nagroth and its spawns never expected. Powerful plasma gun, BFG, huge slapping machine, pie thrower, or maybe some black hole generator, traps, guns, items, and new enemies. You decide. So Creator or Creator or Grim Fandango to other people, he's doing this, he's admitting this jam, and he's a really great Quake C coder, and he's doing tools coding and stuff. In fact, we should have him on the show.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe after this thing's out, he's admitting this, and I got to, you know, give props to him. This is so well prepared, and he's got it all laid out, so there's no questions. I'm sure people will still have questions, but what's happening is people are going to make all these little mini mods. And so weapon, enemy, entity, sounds, even maps, whatever, just a standalone mod. And so I guess that'll be all released together. And then what he's considering doing, if people want to do it, he'll merge all the code into one giant mod that has all these elements, whatever they are. So I know people are reskinning or, I know people are doing weapons. Some things people are doing really kind of intense things. I don't want to get it wrong because I don't have the Discord open right now. But so you'll see some new weapons for sure, some new gameplay elements. I have two ideas I'm not going to get into, but they're pretty simple little things that I can kind of get done that I've already started kind of looking at. I just haven't started coding. But that would be so cool to see everyone's, you know, coding and modding work, especially models, because I think that's one thing I miss is models. You know, I know there's a lot that have been made over the years, but it's kind of rare to see new models and new weapons. So I think we're going to see this big influx this year, and especially from this pack. In fact, I should go on there and see if there's any good screenshots right now.
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, that sounds like the best and worst idea though, because I don't know, like maybe Krether's got it figured out in his head how that's going to work, but I keep thinking, like, what if like five different people affect how like the jump works, and you know, six different people affect how the super nail gun works, you know what I mean? Like, how do you pick what goes where?
Right, well, part of this is that the guidelines kind of keep that in check a little bit. Don't make any game, it just says, don't make huge game logic changes, keep it simple. Direct porting of stuff is from other mods is not allowed, but you can modify them. So you can't, you've got to kind of sort of be original code. Says if possible, keep your code separate, like monsters and other things, so it could be stored and you know, pick and choose. So there's a lot of things that'll kind of help with that, but I totally understand. It may not work out so great, but I'm trying to find, I saw some fun screenshots. Discord's kind of acting up, so it's not really
looking. No, it's okay. I'm sure it'll work out however he's got it planned. It's just in my head, like, because I, you know me, I just run a YouTube show. That's all I do. So I'm not very smart about these things. So I'm just thinking, like, man, how's this going to work? And I'm very interested to see where this is going to be when it's done, because, you know, people come out with these mods nowadays and maps and everything. And I'm blown away. I feel like at least, you know, I would say once every couple of weeks, someone will show something that we're just like, wow, like this is a cool idea. This is a great screenshot of a map, whatever it is. And, you know, this is just another one of those moments where I'm like, this is a great idea. And I really hope that they're able to pull this off and make it into like a fun little mod for people to play.
Yeah, I'm seeing at least one right here. So this is a good example of how you would do it, and it wouldn't change the gameplay, is that they've got a double barrel shotgun, but it's loading Doom 2 style. So these shells eject out, and but I don't know how different the actual firing of the gun is. It might affect the reload time, but maybe not. I don't know. I don't know the details on this one, but that's kind of some of the stuff. And then let's see what else someone's working on the dragon from, you know, kind of bringing the dragon and making it workable, because there was a dragon in Quake and it just didn't work. So the model existed somewhere. And so stuff like that.
That's cool.
My thing is going to be, like I said, two new monsters, but they're kind of, they'll fit in the code, because I'm not going to go nuts with.
All right. Well, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
Sorry. But I think it'll work. I have high hopes for this one.
Cool. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Oh yeah.
So Dump Truck, anything else going on?
Well, before we kind of wrap for the day, I just want to remind people there's been a couple other speed map packs that that maybe you haven't gotten to that they should definitely check out. One of them was SM189, which was Doom, and it was using the Doom. It was celebrating the Doom's 25th birthday, and there are 9 maps. And they're all really great. I did play through this one, and they're all really cool. And I do have a favorite, but I won't say it on the air here, quote unquote. But there's really fun Doom maps in here that people need to check out.
Yeah, I plan to play that soon. But you know, people are just going to sit in the Discord like wondering, what is Dumptruck's favorite?
No, too bad. You'll have to reach out. And
it will be a mystery to all.
Yeah, no, there's some really, really fun ones. And when I heard about this, I'm like, whatever, Doom, blah, it's kind of lame. But they were great. They were really fun packs.
Cool.
You know, so because I'm definitely of the camp where, like, you should not have Doom gameplay in Quake. I mean, unless you're Tronin, you know, who you can do it right. But it's really hard to get right. So, and I'm just not a huge fan of that. But this worked great. All these maps are really solid. So it was fun. So I just wanted to make sure people knew about that actual project as well, because that's really fun. One as well.
All right, Dumptruck, that sounds good. I plan to play through that Doom pack pretty soon here. It does look great. I've been looking at the screenshots, but I still have a couple other speed map packs to play through as well. So hopefully I'll be able to get to that one soon.
You'll have a blast.
Awesome. All right, Dumptruck, another great episode hanging out with you. Thank you, buddy.
Always a pleasure.
And of course, we will all see you on the next episode of the Quakecast.
This is RC. Thanks for listening to the Quakecast. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/watchGGRC.
And I'm Dumptruck. You can find me on YouTube. Just search for Dumptruck_DS. Well, I do have a couple things I want to remind people. We've been talking about these speed map jams and stuff. And if you haven't checked out the SM-189 Dune... let me start that over.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh my God. All right. Now I'm not going to be able to say it. I'm going to say Dune every time.
And of course, we will all see you on the next episode of the Quakecast.
Cool music. Insert here.
Burn out. Burn out. Burn out.